This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, the best and only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. And if you enjoy what we do here at Locked On Rockets, do me a favor, hit subscribe at our brand new YouTube channel, subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, the brand new Odyssey app. We would sincerely appreciate it. A lot to dive into today, and joining me here to break it all down, as well as a face reveal, is none other than Apollo HOU contributor, member of r/Rockets community over on Reddit, is user Prodigy. What's up, Prod? How you doing, man?
What's up, everyone? This is me.
Excited to have you here. Excited for the face reveal. Now the general public gets to see you. It's going to be, are you feeling a little nervous?
I mean, for sure, but I'm overall happy to be here above everything.
Absolutely. Now, you and I, we've done, green rooms and interacted, all over the Twitter sphere and all that stuff. So it's been, it's great to finally be able to get you on the show. Obviously, I'm going to, let you plug r/Rockets, because that's kind of where you started, right? Kind of growing your Rockets following fandom. And then you transitioned over to the Twitter sphere. And now you're a member of Apollo HOU with us. So, I'll give you a second to plug r/Rockets, because there's so many great guys over there. Obviously, Stormy, Brian, Far Westeros, Marquezzi. There's so many great names. I mostly just lurk over on r/Rockets, but I know it's a really active community.
Yeah, man, that's my family over there. As an European fan coming into the NBA, you're not really sure how to get to interact with other people that love the Rockets, because it's not a big deal here as it is in the US. So that was a really nice place where they took me with open arms, and I had a lot of fun there before joining Twitter too.
All right, well, let's go ahead and dive into the stuff we got to talk about today. Because again, we're going to dive into, so first things first is kind of seemingly out of nowhere, Dante Exum hanging out with the Rockets in the Bahamas, and looks like he's, kind of going through the little pre-training camp rituals, down in the Bahamas with the rest of the Houston Rockets. And there's a little bit of speculation as the information gathered by the Podfather himself over on Rockets Wire, Ben DuBose, Felix von Hoff, so former professional basketball player in Australia and current media member over there, tweeted that Exum plans to sign with the Houston Rockets within the next few days. Now, I don't know if we should obviously take this with a grain of salt. It's not like he's like the Australian Woj or something. But that said, it's kind of interesting because the Rockets are already capped out on roster spots. They've got their 15-man roster already all locked in with contracts. They've got their 5 training camp deals, basically, with Anthony Lamb and Matthew Hurt on the two-way deals, and then Exhibit 10 deals for Dacian Nix, Tyler Bay, and Armoni Brooks. So there's not exactly space for Dante Exum to come back unless a deal is made, which is kind of interesting, right?
Yeah, it's definitely intriguing because during the past weeks, as it's been pretty quiet on the Rockets front, we've been speculating about maybe Armoni Brooks gets one of the two-way spots, maybe he replaces Kerry Thomas, and then all of a sudden, we think we have a cluster at guards, and comes the news that we're probably going to sign another one. That begs the question that someone has to be dropped. The easiest one to say is Kerry Thomas, if we're assuming that Exum is coming with an actual NBA deal. Because it's a non-guaranteed contract, so it doesn't really cost us anything to waive him. Other than that, maybe there's some trade in the works. Maybe, and if that's the case, House seems to be the prime candidate, as his contract is really small and easy to trade. We haven't seen him in the Bahamas just yet, I don't think. So that's kind of weird.
Which is really, and I know there was a little bit of tinfoil hat theory going on there with people trying Shout out to Britt Robatista, love her. But there was the moment she was comparing like John Wall and like the photos from his workout room to like the beach photos, trying to figure out, okay, is that Wall or not? But yeah, like, I mean, we're like, you know, Rocket's Twitter, you know, does some exceptional detective work and reading the tea leaves from time to time. But I think it's really interesting that Daniel House was, I think, one of the first players alongside, I believe, Jay Sean Tate to originally mention the Bahamas trip. I think he was talking to Mark Berman about it, about the fact that the Rockets were planning to make that trip down to the Bahamas and kind of have that team bonding experience before official training camp kind of started up. And so it'd be really weird to consider like he's the first one to kind of mention it. And he was also there in that previous group that did it. And then for him to not be there because maybe there's a trade in the works, maybe something's going on behind the scenes. It's interesting, at least.
Yeah, and it's really easy to identify House amongst the other players because his hairstyle is so different. So if he was there, we'd probably already seen it. And if it isn't House, we know pretty much everyone else is there. So it's really intriguing. I'd say the prime candidates are those two. But
I'd feel bad for Kyrie Thomas, too, because he really showed, you know, a lot of potential this past season. And I was really high on him, especially as like a defensive guard, right? As somebody who could, in the backcourt, potentially complement like a KPJ or a Jalen Green, as far as, you know, having a guard that it can be more defense first oriented, defense first minded, you know, next to two obviously extremely talented offensive guards that still have a ways to go on the other side of the basketball. But like you said, Kyrie Thomas, non-guaranteed deal. He's been a name that I've thrown around a lot as somebody that if, you know, depending on how Armani Brooks looked in summer league, maybe they decide they want to go the Armani Brooks route over Kyrie Thomas. But those are two names remaining, right? So if they do decide they want to bring back Dante Exum, I think it's worth noting that I think that with bringing Exum back, I think it'd be kind of important to not view Exum as another guard, but to view him as more so a wing. Maybe a bit more of an undersized wing, because he's a really competent perimeter defender. And I think that if they were looking to bring him back, it's not necessarily, you know, viewing him as a guard, because again, he'd be buried in that guard rotation, but conceivably he might be able to actually get some, you know, rotation minutes as a wing player, not necessarily as a guard.
Yeah. And if we're viewing him as a wing too, if it's that mold that Silas likes, that is someone who can, he likes every player on the floor to be able to do some kind of playmaking. Mm-hmm. And Exum as a wing also brings that. So it could be intriguing from that perspective too. But yeah, as you said, it feels bad for Kyrie Thomas. He showed out the last moments of the last season, but there's also a lot of things we don't know from summer league and how he did in summer league and how he might be doing in training camp, that maybe Salas was turned off on Kyrie Thomas, or maybe, it, as I said, this is all speculation. Maybe it's not none of the things that we're saying, and some massive trade for, let's say, Eric Gordon is on the horizon. We never know.
Not the Eric Gordon trade. I'm gonna be both like relieved and also very depressed the day if it happens that Eric Gordon gets traded. It's gonna be a rough day for the Rockets fan and for Rockets Twitter, for all of us. But with that, it'll be really interesting to follow along to see what happens with Dante Exum. And obviously we'll keep you covered on all that news and more speculation if there needs to be here at Locked On Rockets. But coming up, Prodigy and I are going to dive into the floor and ceiling for this Rockets team coming up this next season, as well as what the rebuilding timeline kind of looks like for this new era, new age Houston Rockets ball club. And we're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at Sweatblock, because look, nobody likes sweating. It can be gross, uncomfortable, right? Unless you're at the gym, you're working up a good sweat. That's fine. That's workout sweat. That's cool. But like when you're going out throughout your day, running errands, hanging out with friends, maybe you're going on a date, business meeting, lunch, whatever, you don't want to sweat. It's uncomfortable. No, it can cause anxiety. It's not great, right? Sweatblock can help you out with that. It's doctor created, doctor recommended, works for up to 7 days per application. They have a dry shirt guarantee. So if Sweatblock doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. Sweatblock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You just put it on at night before you go to bed. The next morning you wake up, you shower, go about your regular morning routine. Don't change anything, right? It's no different. And you just go throughout your day sweat free. So if you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com when we use promo code LOCKEDON, also available at Amazon and CVS. So again, that's 20% off using promo code LOCKEDON at sweatblock.com. and another message from our friends over at DirecTV. Because look, does this sound familiar? You got one device that lets you catch the game, another that's letting you record your favorite shows. You got sports highlights on your phone, and then you have a login from like your cousin's best friend for all the other good stuff, right? Well, let me tell you about a way to get all that entertainment that you love without the hassle of finally a way to get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream. It brings your live and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no more need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now let's dive into just how good or bad we think this Rockets team might be this next season, because we've had some speculation, right? Obviously, they've got the new injection of youth, all the rookies being brought in. We've kind of tackled here in previous episodes, you know, trying to figure out what the rotation's going to look like, who the starting five is, who's going to get minutes, who's going to be left out of the rotation, you know, which of the rookies are actually going to get substantial playing time, you know, who's going to spend time at the G League. But I think past all of that, you know, the area that we haven't really dove into, that's a word, I think, is trying to figure out just how good this Rockets team might be this next season. And frankly, Prod, I'm at this place where, you know, I think they're going to be a fun team. I think there's going to be a lot of exciting, you know, games, some high scoring events, right? Jalen Green's going to explode for 30 plus, you know, a lot of times this season. I think he goes 30 plus. I'm going to call it right now. I think Jalen Green goes 30 plus at least five times this season. Calling it right now.
I'll take the over on that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty conservative, like, guess. Like, you know, he obviously showed, you know, really impressive scoring chops in the G League. The 2.5 games we saw out of him in Summer League, the scoring comes so naturally, so fluid, so easy to him that I think that he's going to have, you know, a lot of great games this season. KPJ is obviously incredibly capable of doing that as well. All that said, the Rockets were the fourth worst team in net rating last season. They had a net rating of -7.4. They were the fourth worst defensive team in the association. They were also the fourth worst offensive team in the association. They were the worst offensive and defensive team in the Southwest Division. And this is where I'm coming from. Like, when I see Rockets fans who are, you know, really like thinking, oh, there's so much talent on this roster, they're definitely going to be pushing for a play-in spot, I'm like, let's put it in perspective. The New Orleans Pelicans also have a young, extremely talented roster. They've got Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, you know, really strong core over there. This past season, they were the 11th best offensive team in the association. They had an offensive rating of 113. Their defense was pretty atrocious. They were the 23rd best defensive team in the association, and they didn't crack the play-in tournament. So that's kind of like a bar, right? Like, that's the bar to be set, sort of, is the Pelicans were almost a top 10 offense and still a bottom 1/3 defense and didn't crack the play-in tournament. And that's kind of what I think we're going to see out of the Rockets this next season. Maybe they take that jump offensively. Maybe Silas is able to finally get, you know, some of the more in-depth offensive schemes that he wanted to accomplish last season in play with an actual training camp, and hopefully no COVID issues, no injuries, none of that, right? A healthy start to the season, all of that. But that's kind of my expectation, is the Rockets are not going to be making the play-in tournament. Where's your head at regarding this?
It's pretty close to where your head is at. I think they'll be insanely fun to watch. I think they'll be a high-flying, uber-athletic team that scores a lot, but ultimately it gets let down on the other side of the court, because we saw last year, at least from the eye test to me, they played decent defense for the level of players that were on the floor and were mostly let down on offense without someone that could create for themselves too often. I think this year is going to be absolutely the opposite. I think all of these young guys, we see flashes of defense from them, individual defense, and I think at the end of the day, those have to come together. Like, individual defense by itself is not the greatest, even if it's inconsistent. I feel like they'll struggle to work together on defense. I feel like they, for example, Christian Wood is someone that we saw last year during our that famous 10-game streak, or 10 when we were 10 and near 500 record. We saw Christian Wood be really go really hard on the boards, go be decent defensively, and then we saw him coming back from injury, and some of that is obviously due to injury, but I believe that some of that is also from him feeling like the games probably don't matter anymore. When he came back, we were on that 20-game losing streak. It's hard to play hard under those circumstances. And I feel like something similar could very well happen this season. The start to our season is really tough. If I remember correctly, we have like in the first 10 games, I would expect us to win maybe one or two because we play some really good teams. And I feel like that's going to affect morale, and defense is mostly effort. So maybe that's one of the factors that comes into it. I expect them to be, while saying that, I expect them to be from 20 to 30 wins. I believe that their absolute ceiling is like 35 wins, which might be enough for a play-in. But at the end of the day, I don't think it will, because the Rockets have some, like, I feel like the atmosphere around the team is, okay, this year is mostly about development. If you can make the play-in, great. But there's not an insane level of pressure on Styles and the team to be good. But when you look at the other teams fighting for that play-in spot, as if we were to think that the Rockets would be fighting for it. So the Pelicans have Zion, who's already been hinting, or his father's been hinting, that he wants to move out if the team isn't good. The Kings, Luke Walton has been poor for a long time, and I think that it's getting pretty hot, so he's pressured to be good. The only teams that don't really need to be good is the Thunder and probably the Spurs, but the Spurs have Pop, and Pop's not going to want to lose a season at the back half of his career. So I feel like at the end of the day, teams are going to want to win more than we will, just because there's a lot more pressure, and I think we'll prioritize development above all else.
Yeah, I think that when you're looking at those, all the teams vying for that final play-in spot, right? So the Spurs were the ones that occupied the spot, the 10th, you know, spot in the West this past season. But if you decide you want to fade the Spurs, there were the five teams that didn't make the play-in. So Pelicans, Kings, Timberwolves, Thunder, and Rockets in that order. And I think you're right. I think of that batch, you can basically almost pretty safely count out the Thunder and the Rockets. The Timberwolves, I've had some people, my co-host over at Locked On NBA, Matt Moore, has kind of picked the Timberwolves to be that team to make the jump and you know, fight for that play-in spot. The Kings, maybe they stop being the Kangs and they're fighting for the play-in spot. I've picked the Pelicans. I think the Pelicans are going to, you know, put it together. They've got a lot of talent. And I think under Willie Green, I think that maybe Zion takes that leap this season and they piece it together. And partially it's because I think the Spurs are going to finally fall out, even with Popovich at the helm. I know it's not smart to bet against Popovich ever, but I think that the Pels are probably going to be the last team to take up a play-in spot. And, you know, frankly, for the Rockets, that's not a bad thing, right? And I think that Rockets fans have like a little bit of level of like instant gratification. Like they want to be, you know, in the playoffs again, they want to be, and it's like, no, this is a rebuild now. They need to, you know, allow time for the development of this young core. And that's the thing that we want to talk about next is the timeline for this rebuild, what important dates, what important off seasons are coming up, and, you know, kind of the, you know, how long it's going to take for this Rockets team to hit a level of relevancy again. And we're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com, because look, why would you want to spend up to 30, 50, or even 100% more for the exact same car parts? When you go to rockauto.com, their catalog is so easy to navigate. You don't have to worry about driving down in person to go to an auto parts store, because the worst part is you drive to the store, they don't even have the parts in stock, right? Like you get there and you're like, hey, I need, you know, this part for this car. And I go, oh, we don't even carry that. So just go online to Rock Auto. Their catalog is super easy to navigate. You can quickly find the brands and specifications that you need for your car or truck. And again, you're going to save money when you visit rockauto.com. They're a family-owned business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. So visit their website. And when you go to checkout, when you hit the little shopping cart icon, be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliable prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Be sure to visit rockauto.com. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, chatting with Apollo HOU contributor, as well as r/Rockets community member and Rockets Twitter member. What areas are you not a member of, Prod? You can follow him on Twitter at Prodigy on Twitter. Now, I'm going to call you out here. Prod, you decided to be a little obnoxious with your username. It's spelled Prodigy, Prodigontwitt3R. Why'd you put the three in there, man?
Because Twitter doesn't allow the word Twitter to be on handles.
Oh,
so
really?
I had to circumvent it and replace the he with a three. That was because of that.
I love that. All right. Learn something new every day. That's great. Well, go follow Prod on Twitter. He's great for Rockets content. And speaking of the great Rockets content, Prod, you put together a really cohesive kind of 2023 Houston Rockets offseason template. And I think that's the offseason that I've kind of teased as being so important for the direction of this franchise, where we can kind of safely look at this rebuild and probably the next couple seasons being, right, the developmental years, allowing the rookies to really get up to speed at the NBA level, focusing on getting them, acclimated, developing them, letting them grow into their NBA bodies, all that stuff. But that 2023 offseason is so exciting because the Rockets are set to have a lot of cap space to throw around, and they could be significant players in the free agency market in summer 2023. So why don't you let's dive in. What do you got here for us on this spreadsheet?
Wait, let me pull that up. Okay. So as you can see, we're projected to have 60 million or almost 60 million worth of cap space while keeping the cap holds of KPJ, Christian Wood, and Jayson Tate, which are, I predicted, were the ones we would be looking to keep with us, which means we have a lot of space to sign new guys. And signing new guys, most of the time people talk about that as if we're signing a new star, and it doesn't have to be like that. Just look at the Hawks. The Hawks last season had some cap space. They couldn't attract a star. They have all of the youth in the world. They have an up-and-coming superstar in Trae Young, and they couldn't find a star. And probably that there wasn't one available, as AD was probably the only decent free agent, and he was obviously going to resign with the Lakers. So when we look at the quick list of free agents that I have here, with LeBron James, James Harden, John Wall, Westbrook, Bradley Beal, probably the most interesting one is Nikola Jokic. These are here in case we are good enough to attract one of them. But I wouldn't even say that that's the most realistic outcome. I think that the best outcome is to go about it the way the Hawks did and sign some lower tier guys to friendly deals, to team friendly deals that you can later couple with the picks to trade for a superstar. And until then, their guys are going to contribute to your team. They're going to help your young guys play some winning basketball. Guys like Malcolm Brogdon, Jeremy Grant, Miles Turner, Kelly Oubre. And then there's the third option. And the third option is guys that are coming off their rookie deals that teams might not want to overpay for. And overpay is a word that people don't like to hear. But the fact is, sometimes it's good to overpay for some of these guys, and they end up fulfilling their full potential after their rookie deals, and they end up being worth that contract. I mean, we're the Rockets. Just think about James Harden. We got James Harden, even though it wasn't by overpaying him as a free agent. We got James Harden because the Thunder didn't believe or didn't have the money to pay him. So we took a shot at him. And you might argue that when we took the shot, we weren't overpaying him yet. But the fact is, we wouldn't do that trade if we didn't plan on maxing him the season after, right? So,
yeah. I also just want to throw it out there, right? You're drawing comparisons to, teams who have, tried to throw their weight around in free agency with, an abundance of cap space and didn't wind up, landing the big name, the sexy big name free agency signing star. let's go back to the 2016-2017 Rockets, who tried to bring in, right? They tried to lure in Kevin Durant. Unfortunately, they had the, you know, the 41-41 disappointing season, bounced in the first round of the playoffs. There was all the dysfunction with that 2015-2016 team, but they weren't able to bring in a big name free agent. They were able to bring in Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson. And obviously there's a bit of a love-hate relationship there with, you know, what Ryan Anderson eventually became for the Houston Rockets. Unfortunately, that being said, if the Rockets don't make those two signings in Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson, then they're not the offensive juggernaut powerhouse under MDA that first year to then attract Chris Paul the following offseason, right? So it was kind of a domino effect, and they did a really good job of utilizing the cap space that they did have to bring in impact players. And obviously that was the summer that the cap spike, you know, the cap jumped up and there was the gigantic cap spike. And, you know, that's, you know, a once in a, you know, blue moon occurrence for the NBA. So obviously a little bit different as far as that goes, but I just think it's interesting to draw that parallel as well, where they brought in two names that weren't necessarily the marquee free agents of that offseason, and they were still able to then turn themselves into a top three seed in the Western Conference by doing so. Granted, they still had James Harden in the midst of his, you know, MVP prime, but still.
Yeah, and there's other things you can do with cap space. If you can't sign those free agents and you feel like the next offseason is the one where you're going to be able to sign one max guy, or if you want to try your luck again, you can do what the Knicks did 2 years ago and sign a bunch of 1+1 deals with a team option and keep your options open for the year after, because in 2023, you have all of this space. If we pay Christian Wood, Kevin Porter Jr., and Jayson Tate, the year after, all of the rookies we drafted this year are still under rookie deals, so we have another season to go at it. We mostly talk about the 2023 season because I feel like when you look at the contracts and at the speech coming out of the Rockets, it feels like this year's probably not, we're probably not going to be good. We're going to add a lottery pick next year. And then the season after is the season where we're actually trying to compete and we're actually trying to show the NBA that we're a good team that just needs some guys to take that extra step, and that also attracts free agents. And one of the reasons for me to say this is, let's look at the structure on David Nwaba's contract. They got him on a 2-year deal with a team option for 2023 in case they want to keep him for that. Who knows if it's going to be cheap by then, but $5 million a year deal. Daniel Theis, who's making $9 million that year, has a team option for the year after. So it's a super tradable asset, a super tradable vet. He'll be 31 years old. Daniel Theis making $9 million a year with a team option the year after.
That's an absolutely easy contract to move. Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a problem. So we have all of the guys that we want under contract, and we have all the flexibility in the world to do whatever we want with that cap space. So,
and I think so. One thing that we didn't highlight yet is, so, you know, you've got the numbers written out here, but for our podcast audience, you know, so there would be just under $60 million in space below the projected, I guess, $121 million salary cap. Now, I want to say, I don't know if this was an oversight or not, but one thing that did stand out to me on your list that you've got pulled up here is, I think it's a pretty safe bet, right, that the Rockets are going to have another likely top five pick this upcoming season. So that would be another, let's pretend, what, $9-10 million in committed money to a top Perfect. Prospect. So that would be my one other caveat to throw on this list. So, you know, basically we can maybe adjust that about almost $60 million in cap room to down to maybe say about $50 million in cap room to throw around, which is easily enough to either A, lure in, you know, a pair of, you know, solid, you know, NBA players in the 15 to 20 million range, or to throw, right, a substantial max level contract at one of those free agents. And again, the one that really stands out on that list, if the Nuggets aren't able to accomplish, you know, anything meaningful between now and the summer 2023, if Nikola Jokic gets a little bit uneasy about the future of that organization, I mean, making a play for Jokic and imagining Jokic alongside the rest of this Rockets young core kind of coming into their own would be ridiculously exciting. I'm just going to put that out there. That's a really interesting avenue possibility to consider, is Nikola Jokic in a Houston Rockets jersey.
Yeah, I mean, that's the dream, right? That's the big guy you aim for. And besides Jokic, the other guy you have to point at, because where the Houston Rockets is James Harden. If he ends up not signing an extension with Brooklyn, which their GM said he likely will, but it isn't signed yet, so we don't know. Since he left, we've all been dreaming after that Instagram post about the home.
You can't say we all, because there's that portion of Rockets fans who very much have a lot of disdain for James Harden. So I will just say pump the brakes there. A lot of Rockets fans, sure, have this fairy tale scenario where James Harden pulls a LeBron James and comes back to Houston, and you've got old man James Harden ready to lead this, you know, young Houston Rockets core to some, you know, impressive playoff performances and maybe a title, you know, as he's 34, 35, 36 years old, Christian Wood in his prime, KPJ, Jalen Green, right? That would be a storybook ending to a storied Houston Rockets legacy, career, all that, to right his wrongs for forcing his way out of Houston. I kind of let that ship sail a long time ago. I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah. I think he's going to re-sign the extension with Brooklyn, and I'm perfectly content with that being the outcome.
Yeah, and another thing about the list of players that I brought up is we look at these guys and we look at them as max players right now. We don't know if they'll be max players by the time when we make it to 2023. An example that usually people hate when I bring up is if John Wall hits the free agent market and he's asking for, I don't know, 10 to 15 million at 2023 when we'll be 32. I have it 33 years old. Hey, that's a fire six man to bring off the bench. Like, having the cap space doesn't mean we're throwing the bag at someone. It's about being smart with how you do it. And the only thing I would probably take off the cards is taking more salary, like throughout 2023 and 2024. Like, take salary dumps at that point. I feel like.
Why we don't want Ben Simmons on the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, exactly. Because it just feels like it doesn't feel right, because we know that in 2024 we owe our pick to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I don't believe we'll ever get luck in the lottery like we did this season. The pick is top three protected like this year's was, but there's no way we're that bad by then to have even decent odds at not giving them more picks. So once we hit 2023, it's time to go. Like, there's no looking back. You have to be a playoff team. You have to be at least a playing team, guaranteed. It would feel so bad to give the Thunder.
That's where the upward climb has to kind of start. And if they're still in free fall, if they're still kind of in developmental mode at that point, that's when there's going to be a little bit of cause for concern as to start looking around and saying, okay, well, what's going on, right? What's holding them back? Who's not developing? Who hasn't panned out? Is it coaching at that point, right? Do you suddenly start looking at Steven Silas, which I'm not pointing fingers at Silas yet. I'm saying if you get to that point, and there hasn't been, you know, measured steps of improvement to where you can confidently say, yes, the organization and team are moving in the right direction, then yes, you start having to figure out, okay, what's the problem? Is it the players? Are they not developing to the best of their potential? Is it the coaching? Is it roster construction and moves being made at the margins there? And I think one of the biggest questions truly is Christian Wood going to still be a member of the Houston Rockets past that point, right? Past this current iteration of his contract. And I think that the Rockets did sort of hedge their bets a little bit as far as their future big men by drafting Alperen Şengün and Usman Garuba, not necessarily knowing if Christian Wood's going to want to be here for the long term, right? Because if he plays to the level that we saw him play this past season, two more years in a row, and I still think he's got a little bit more room to grow as well. I think we have not seen peak Christian Wood yet. But if he plays himself into what would be a max level deal for him down the line, and if the Rockets don't look like they're making the right strides, making the right steps towards being a competitive playoff bound team with, you know, championship aspirations, and if, you know, the young core is, you know, the chemistry's well, the culture is good, all that, right? Then it wouldn't surprise me to see Christian Wood have, you know, a lingering gaze and want to look at, you know, moving to another organization, right? So I think you have to entertain the possibility of potentially trading Christian Wood while his value is incredibly high, right? While he's still got one more year of team control. If they do trade him, whatever team gets his bird rights, like, there's a lot of different options there. as to whether or not he's actually going to be a long-term plan or a long-term part of the Houston Rockets future.
Yeah, it ultimately comes
I will say,
down.
Sorry, I want to like exclamation point there. I would like him to be like, that's my point. Like there were a lot of people clamoring for a Christian Wood trade this past draft. And I was like, no, you don't trade him yet because one, he hasn't played up to his peak yet. So you're not trading him for maximum possible value at this point. And then two, I would like to see him stay a Houston Rocket, right? I think he embraced the team at a time that was, you know, obviously really murky with James Harden. The Rockets really, we attached ourselves to Christian Wood as the new face of the franchise before, you know, KPJ and, you know, that train kind of came along. But Christian has embraced the idea of wanting to be a franchise guy here in Houston. And I'd like to see him stay in the long term because I do think he has not superstar potential, but incredibly talented two-way big man potential. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. And I was one of those people that at the beginning of the offseason pre-draft, I was advocating for maybe exploring a trade for Christian Wood. But looking at the team now, I would very much like him to stay. And it ultimately comes down to are you ready to pay him that max deal? And in the math that I showed, a max deal is only 10, 12 million more than his cap hold of 32 million. So you can sign him to a max deal and still have that huge amount of money left to play with. So it ultimately comes down to, can he develop on the defensive end? Can he be what he was before injury all the time? And if he can do that all the time, he's the perfect modern big man in the NBA. He can pick and roll, he can pick and pop, he can be a rim protector like he was at that time. He has the length to do it. He has the quick feet to be switchable onto the perimeter. He's a lob threat. He's basically offensively the perfect big man in the modern NBA. So like John Collins this past season, I think that's a really good comparison. Atlanta saw that they were ready to compete and they had to pay John Collins if we're ready to compete when Christian Wood is here and he wants to stay. I feel like you have to do it at that point because he'll be really good for a team trying to win.
Prad, this has been a wonderful conversation. I'm so glad to have finally been able to get you on the show. Can't wait to have you back on the show. We're going to get you on plenty of times this upcoming season. Why don't you let the listeners know where to track you down at and what you got cooking up as far as content and stuff of that nature?
I'm all the time on Twitter. I'm all the time on Reddit. You can see my content at r/rockets. You can see on Twitter at Prodigy on Twitter. As Jackson said before, it's hard to say it letter by letter. I'm also working with Apollo. I do podcasts on the I do podcasts with Don Knock on Apollo Launchpad. And yeah, that's mostly what I do about the Rockets. If you liked what you heard from me, check me out.
All right, Prod. Well, really appreciate you stopping by today. Thanks a bunch, man.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to the show on YouTube, subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google, brand new Odyssey app. We would sincerely appreciate it. But as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.